Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The Insurance Covered podcast offers listeners a clear and engaging look inside the insurance industry. Twice a month, host Peter Mansfield sits down with expert guests to explore topics ranging from MGAs and microinsurance to ESG exposures, market trends, and the history of insurance. The series blends timely insights with historical context, making complex issues accessible to both industry veterans and newcomers alike. I'm Lori Chortis for Best Review, and Peter Mansfield, a partner at RPC, joins us now to tell us more about the podcast. Peter, welcome. So great to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Lori.
So, Peter, can you tell us about your podcast and what inspired you to launch it?
Well, it's probably easiest to tell the story of how it launched, and that in a way explains what the podcast is aiming to achieve. So the credit for that goes entirely to the head of our insurance department called Simon Laird. A few years ago, back in 2019, I went to Simon stating, I've been a lawyer for a very long time. I need a new challenge. And Simon said, well, actually, I was thinking of starting a podcast, the aim of which is to educate our junior lawyers about the insurance market, about insurance generally. Because as lawyers, we have a tendency to be very siloed thinking and we only think about our own little bit. So he's saying he wanted a broader education, but also producing a podcast that was of interest to our clients. So in other words, it's not just one lawyer talking to another lawyer about how great the two of them are. It was something a bit more educational, a bit more kind of opening people's eyes to the glory and wonder that is insurance.
Wonderful. So, Peter, how many podcasts have you produced and what is your release schedule for new ones?
Well, we are, I think it's about 147 at the moment. So we're coming up to 150. As you mentioned in the introduction, we are fortnightly. So we try and keep it on a regular basis. Weekly is too much to do. I admire any podcast that manages to do it weekly, and even more so those that manage to do sort of two a week. I don't know how they achieve it. Anyway, so we do kind of fortnightly, and a big shout out actually to Joe Burgess, who kind of produces the show, and to Mary Mitchell, who does all the audio editing. We're an audio only podcast, and you know, anyone watching this will suddenly realize why we're an audio only podcast. It's best to keep my image off kind of merchandise and publishing. So that's what we do, and that's our aim for kind of going forward. It will be a fortnightly podcast and it will remain as such.
Great. So Peter, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, about your own background and your experience in the insurance industry?
Sure. Well, I mean, first and foremost, I'm a husband and a father. I think we have a tendency to focus on jobs when we're describing ourselves, but relationships are what make us. My parents kind of brought me up in the Methodist church and the Methodist tradition, which is relevant. So I'll come back to that. But that shapes my kind of worldview and my kind of moral vision. In terms of kind of insurance background, I wanted to be a lawyer. So I became a lawyer 35 years ago. And when I was training, my very first seat as a trainee was in insurance litigation. And I knew immediately, really, kind of within the first couple of weeks, that that is what I wanted to do. So kind of when my training finished, I came back, was given a job in the insurance department, and have specialized in professional indemnity ever since, particularly in more recent years, acting for construction professionals. Bizarrely, my dad was an engineer and a civil engineer, and he always told me that there are two jobs I must never do. One was be a lawyer, the other was be an architect. So I've ended up being a lawyer who defends architects. But I think he forgave me. So
I'm sure. So Peter, what type of topics do you focus on in your podcast?
Well, we always say that we do anything and everything to do with insurance. And when we started, I have to say, when Simon asked me to start, I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, how hard can it be? Because I'd never even listened to a podcast at that stage. But I thought, well, it's just talking into a mic, isn't it? Kind of can't be that tricky. So we set it up along the basis that Simon said, which was educational. And we thought, oh, well, yeah, I'll basically do the things that I'm interested in. And so there's a bit of history. There's a bit of, you know, what jobs people do, kind of lines of business, some background things like, you know, PFAS and kind of risk areas that may become relevant to the insurance market. So it's a whole range of stuff, and entirely by accident, I think that is a type of podcast that no one else is doing, no one else has done. If someone is out there who has done it, I apologize. You know, I just haven't come across your podcast, so I apologize for that. But there are an enormous number of insurance podcasts, but a lot of them are very specialist. So, you know, they specialize in insurtech. I don't really do that. I try to avoid insurtech because, as I say, there are these other podcasts that do it better. And there are podcasts that are very specific to particularly one line of business or one area. So kind of the political risk podcast, for example. So we're much more general. It's entirely broad. And the best way to explain that may be just to summarize the top five episodes that we've done. So the ones with the highest number of downloads. Right at the very top, there's an episode called, you know, What is a Broker? So it explains what an insurance broker is, what an insurance broker does. The second one is all on insurance jargon, because insurance does have a ludicrous amount of jargon. And that was a Christmas special. So we did that as a sort of a game show format. So that's hopefully quite fun. The third one was an explanation as to what is the Lloyd's of London? How does it work? Why is it, you know, why has it got the odd way in which it, the idiosyncratic way in which it works? Why is that? The fourth one is on managing general agents, MGAs, what they are, how they fit into the insurance ecosystem. And then the fifth one is an oddity, and it's all about the 18th century legal case of Carter v. Boehm, which is the case which set up the duty of good faith. It has established that as a legal principle. But the podcast is all about the background to that, which is all about, you know, pirates and daring do on the high seas and, you know, the wars and stuff like that. It's a brilliant story, but it led to the principle of duty of good faith. So that, I think, gives a brief overview of the subject matter that we try to cover in the podcast.
Absolutely. That's fascinating. Peter, can you tell us about the type of guests who join you for these discussions and what range of perspectives do they bring to the podcast?
Because the podcast covers so much in terms of topics, the guests also cover a lot. In terms of insurance professionals, RPC is obviously an insurance law firm, kind of based in London, but with offices elsewhere. So I'm based in Bristol, and we've got Singapore and Hong Kong. And we know most of the insurers. So in that sense, if I want to have a specific topic, insurance topic, we probably know someone who can speak on it. Equally, I'm quite active on LinkedIn, so I get to know people through LinkedIn, and find people who would be good guests, interesting people who can talk about interesting things. But then there are broader topics. So I mentioned PFAS a few moments ago, so I contacted a university professor to talk about that. So one of the world's leading experts on PFAS, so polyfluoro. I can't remember what it all stands for now. Forever chemicals, I believe, is the more popular way of expressing it. So it's people like that. I've been to TED Talks, TED Talk speakers, and to try and get them on. I've tried to get Tom Cruise on because he had insurance issues with one of his Mission Impossible films. But sadly, he said no, which one of the disappointments. But yeah, so the guests come from anywhere, really. If I see anything or read anything which has any potential to kind of have any link with insurance, I get in contact with them and see if I can persuade them to come on. And amazingly, lots of people say yes. So I mean, you know, in many ways, probably the least expected guest was a guy called is a novelist. Well, two actually. So there's a novelist called William Boyd, who wrote a book in the early 90s called Armadillo, which was about a loss adjuster. And not only is the plot about insurance, but the whole theme of the book is about insurance and about the nature of protection and illusory protection, is, you know, as he put it. So I asked whether he would come on the podcast, and he did. So that was a great privilege, because I think William Boyd is a superb novelist. And I've had an actor on, a guy called Giles Torreira, who was in Hamilton, in the West End performance of Hamilton. He was Aaron Burr. But he had written a play about the Zong massacre, which was when 132 enslaved Africans were thrown overboard a ship. And then the owners of the ship claimed on their insurance. So it was a notorious insurance coverage case in the 18th century that went before Lord Mansfield, no relationship. So it was a fascinating case. And he'd written a play about it. So I interviewed him about the play and about the story.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
What a wonderful range of guests, and hopefully Tom Cruise will join you next time.
Well, I'm hoping, really, that this interview will persuade him that it's a good idea.
I hope so. So, Peter, what about your listeners? Who makes up your core audience of listeners, and what kind of feedback have you received from them so far?
One of the great mysteries of podcasts is that you have no real idea who is listening to it. I'd like to think that anyone and everyone involved with insurance would find it interesting. The best guide to who is listening to it is the Spotify stats. That's only about one third of our listenership kind of do it through Spotify. But we know from Spotify that two thirds of the audience are aged 34 or below. So because it's a general educational podcast about insurance, I think it's fair to say that kind of juniors, people kind of coming up through the ranks, graduates who are thinking about what job to do, kind of people who are finding their feet, wanting to understand what options are open to them within insurance, I think they are likely to be the people who are most interested. But my hope is that every single episode will have something of interest for every single person within the insurance industry. Interestingly, I'm a trustee of a charity, and the chair of the board of trustees always listens to it. He has nothing. He works for a local authority. He has nothing to do with insurance. But whenever we meet up, he says, "Oh, I enjoyed that episode about this or that episode about that." So in terms of geographical location, 60% of our audience is based in the UK. Unsurprisingly, we're a UK-based podcast, and there's a lot about the London market. 15% is from the US, and 25% is scattered across the globe. So I think we've got up to 167 countries or territories who have had at least one listen or download to the podcast. So which is mind blowing. I mean, it is utterly absurd. But I mean, when we started, I thought it would last about three or four episodes and no one would listen to it. And here we are, 5 years later, 167 countries, 150,000 downloads. It's more than a minor miracle. It's amazing. My wife, quite early on, you know, these online lists of kind of, you know, top five this, top 10 that. And there was a top five insurance podcasts. And amazingly, we were named on it. And I went very proudly to my wife and said, "You won't believe this, but we've just been named in the top five insurance podcasts." And she said, "There are five insurance podcasts." And you think, oh, thanks for that support. Yeah, that's great. But no, there are loads of insurance podcasts, and it's a privilege to be one of them. You asked about the kind of fan and feedback and whatever. I just want to do a shout out for a guy called Joe Powell, who is a great man. He was on LinkedIn, and during our early days, he's based in Alabama, and during the early days, he was an early adopter of the podcast and would say nice things about it on LinkedIn. And, you know, he was hugely encouraging. And there's another story which of someone who emailed me, and she was a lawyer in a different firm, in a competitor firm. And she said that she'd done a long drive up to Scotland and back, and she had listened to 19 episodes back to back. And frankly, no one should be put through that. That's an extraordinary level of self-sacrifice. But it was, you know, it was encouraging. So kind of, I don't know whether she'll ever see this, but if she is, thank you very much.
Peter, with so much content competing for attention today, how do you cut through the noise and ensure your podcast stands out?
Well, I mean, it might well be that we just merely add to the white noise. But I think a lot of people, I think it can be summed up in a single word, which is professionalism. I think a lot of people want to start podcasts because they see it as a thing to do. And, but they don't realize it actually takes an enormous amount of time to do it. To do it in a way which actually engages with people. So they think you can just rock up in front of a mic and say something, and that would be that turns it magically into a podcast that will go viral. And the reality is, every episode takes a lot of research. It then has time where you actually do the interview itself. Then there's the editing process afterwards, which is I always call it kind of, it's like alchemy, where you have a long conversation and you try to edit it down to 30 minutes, and that process can turn something which may not have been, you know, a utterly engaging conversation, and then you suddenly turn it into something which is engaging. So it is the editing process is phenomenal, and it takes time to get it right. So I think quite a few people over the years have said to me, "Oh, we're thinking of doing a podcast." And I always say to them, that's fine. Bear in mind that the vast majority of podcasts are listened to by 100 to 200 people max, and they take a lot longer. Whatever time you think it's going to take, double that, triple that, and that will be the time it takes. So I think in order to cut through the white noise, as you put it, I think there has to be a degree of professionalism. Good audio quality, people demand that nowadays. Good content, good guests, and good presentation. It has to be educational. It has to be, there's a degree of empathetic elements to it as well. People have to, I don't say this about me because I don't, I can't say whether I'm any good or not, but people have to feel as though they are part of the family. I think all of us, when we listen to our favorite podcasts, it feels as though you're being invited into the room. And so it's somehow you have to achieve that. And, I'm not sure you can necessarily achieve that deliberately. I think it happens by accident to a degree. There are a lot of podcasts out there that are difficult to listen to, and somehow you have to make a podcast that is easy to listen to and actually scratches where people itch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Peter, looking ahead, how do you see the podcast evolving in the future?
Well, I have absolutely no doubt, Laurie, that as a result of this interview, the podcast is going to go viral. And I will be able to go on kind of worldwide theatre tours, kind of raking in vast quantities of money. That would certainly be, you know, a great situation to be in. More probably, I suspect we will simply keep doing what we're doing. We've got some great guests coming up, and we'll keep issuing our podcasts on a fortnightly basis, and hopefully, kind of keeping our audience happy.
That's wonderful. Peter, this has been fascinating, so insightful. It's been a pleasure. Congratulations on your podcast. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure.
That was Peter Mansfield, a partner at RPC and host of the Insurance Covered Podcast. For Best Review, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.